All right, good evening. If you take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 18. Oops. We had good sharing tonight and went longer than some time, so Ephesians 3:18, looking at Paul's prayer request, continued from last week where we were at. So starting in verse 18, it says, "May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank you again for this opportunity to be here tonight. Thank you for all the blessings that were shared tonight, and we're just thankful for all that you're doing in the lives of each of the people here, and thank you for always being there, taking care of us better than we deserve. And I pray, Father, as we look into your word now, that you would continue to speak to hearts personally, that we'd be drawn to you, and that our faith would increase. And so we thank you for what you'll accomplish tonight, and we'll not fail to give you all the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When we are rooted and grounded in love, when we then become able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth of love, we cannot comprehend the fullness of love unless we are totally immersed in love, unless it is the very root and ground of our being. We love only because he loved us, right? We love him because he loved us. The Bible is very clear about that. We have to learn to love like God loves. It's not human nature for us to love that way. I've mentioned many times, we love if or when or whatever, but God loves in spite of anything. He just loves us. It's an unconditional love. Doesn't matter what we do, doesn't matter what we say, doesn't matter where we go. He loves us unconditionally. That's hard for us to grasp. Because we want to love only if you do what I want you to, right? Only if you act like I want you to. Only if you talk and say the things I want you to, then I love you. The other times, it's like you're skating on thin ice and I don't want anything to do with you, right? But God's not that way. God loves us in spite of who we are. And we need to get rooted and grounded in this love so that we can know this love to the extent that we can go out and share this love to others. And it's not easy because it's against our very nature to love this way. Paul prays here that we will become able to comprehend with all the saints. Love is not simply just for the even-tempered Christian or even the naturally pleasant and agreeable Christian. No, it is for some supposed special class of Christians who have had an inside spiritual track. It is for and commanded of every Christian, of all the saints. We're all commanded to love. Are we good at it? Work in process, right? We'd like to be good at it, I think. I think most of us would say we would like to be better at this. Paul says we can be if we want to be. But it takes work. To comprehend what is the breadth and length and height and depth of love is to understand it in its fullness. Love goes in every direction and to the greatest distance. It goes wherever it is needed for as long as it is needed. We all know that before we became a Christian or saint, we had no understanding of the greatness of God. I would say we are still learning of the greatness of God. Because we have to remind ourselves constantly that God can take care of us. God can do anything. Nothing is impossible for God. We always think, but this problem is so big, I'm going to have to take care of it myself, right? And we think, what is too big for God? But that's not where we initially go, right? We go to, I'm going to have to take care of this. And it's a learning process. And after God has smacked us around a bit, so to speak, we start understanding what we need to do. We need to trust Him, no matter what's happening in our lives. And it's easy for us to trust Him with salvation, right? Because we say, yeah, He saved us and we're kept for all eternity. It's easy for that. And then we take something and we say, but my finances or my job or my vehicles or my house or whatever. And we think, it's just way too big for God. How much bigger is salvation than all of that? I mean, even if you lumped it all together, salvation is still greater. And God can keep us for that. And we get that part. We just lose the part about what else He can do. We forget how great our God is when the trials come, when the testings show up. We forget how great He is. And then He has to remind us. And it's like, okay, been to the woodshed again, right? And then we forget the next time. And we go back to the woodshed again. And pretty soon we say, you know, I'm getting tired of going to the woodshed. I need to get this. And we might make it through the next few, and then we slip back to our old way again, and back to the woodshed, and then we, I need to, and over and over and over. It's a learning process, I think, because we automatically default to, how can I fix this? Instead of, God, I can't do this. I need You to get me through this. And then He takes care of it. And He does it in different ways. And He does it however He wishes. The Spirit of Christ within us helps us to know the breadth, length, and height. Look at Ephesians 3:19. It says, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Paul says that to know the love of Christ surpasses knowledge. Knowing Christ's love takes us beyond our human knowledge because it is from an infinitely higher source. Paul is not speaking here of our knowing the love we are to have for Christ, but the love of Christ, but His very own love that He must place in our hearts before we can either love Him or anyone else. Without knowing this love and having this love of God in us, we can't love others. We're not good at it. We just can't do it. We have to have the love of God in our hearts so that we can love others. And I'm talking about the way that God loves. I'm not talking about the humanistic sight of this. I'm talking about the spiritual sense of this. We can't love as we are supposed to love until we have that love of God in our hearts. Can't do it. We, again, focus on the I love you when or if instead of in spite of. I was thinking of this week, going through all this, and I've got a good friend who has done something and now won't talk to me because basically he's embarrassed. But he needs to know that in spite of what he's done, I still love him. Not happy with what he did, but I still love him. He's a friend. I care about him. That should be our attitude. It shouldn't be, well, you messed up and I'm writing you off. I pray for him. That at some point in time he'll reach out to me because I've got no way to communicate with him now. So that he'll know. It doesn't matter what you did, I still care about you. I still pray for you. And that's the love we should have one for another. But let me take that a step further. We're all supposed to love the lost. That's even harder, right? We love the brethren, right? We're supposed to, right? So we have to. No, we love the brethren because it's what we need to do to be obedient to the Word of God. But we're also supposed to love the lost. The heathen of the world, right? We're supposed to have a love for them. And if we do, we'll pray for them as well. And we need to. And I'm not talking about just those that we know. There's a lot of people I don't know that I pray for. People I may never meet here on this planet. But if they get saved, I'll see them in heaven. I may never meet them. I've got people I send my correspondence every Sunday morning to. I've got preachers I've never met. I still send it to them. They let me know they're praying for me. I'm praying for them. And I look forward to the day when we can meet here. But if we don't, we'll meet there. It's easy to love the brethren. It's much harder to love and pray for lost people, especially those who have not treated us well. The love mentioned in this verse is agape. This is the God love. This love is an unconditional love. It is not a love because, but in spite of. This kind of love loves the unlovable. Well, let's just face it, we were unlovable when God loved us. This kind of love is what kept Jesus on the cross. Now, can you imagine if Jesus had our mindset on that cross, he'd have come down. Because I can tell you my mindset would have been, as I looked out over the crowd, and thought, I would have said, you know, this really isn't worth it. You people are not worth it. That would have been my mindset. I'm going through all of this for you, and you're down there gambling for my raiment? You're down there mocking? It's not worth it. But see, that's a humanistic love. I love you only if you do what I want you to do. Only if you act like I want you to act. God's love is unconditional. It doesn't matter what you do. They spit on our Lord Jesus Christ. He loved them. Anybody here could love somebody that spits on you? That's hard to do. Is that not what we're supposed to do, though? They buffeted him. He still loved them. They nailed him to a cross. He still loved them. In fact, he died so their sins could be forgiven. And we think, yeah, that's just too big a love for me. No, that's the love we're supposed to have. Towards everyone. People say, yeah, but what about the pedophile? Yeah, I despise what they do. But God says we're supposed to love them. We're supposed to be concerned enough that we would want them to get saved. People say, they're not worth saving. Well, let's just put us all in that same category. We were not worth saving, as far as we're concerned. But God said, yes, they are. Because God loves with a different love. It's hard for us to grasp that. He loved us so much, he gave his body on the cross that we might live. He shed his blood in payment for our sin. This kind of love cannot be explained to the carnal man. They don't understand it. Like I said, how can somebody love somebody who has treated them bad? I think it's amazing when I watch some of these true crime things that I like to watch. And in the true crime things, the family of the one that's been murdered will get up and speak at the sentencing and say, "This was a horrible thing, and this is what it did to my family, but I forgive you." And people think, how could they do that? It's a God thing. It's a God type of love. Because how could you forgive someone that took your loved one from you? Well, God loves us. And his only begotten son died for us. It's an unconditional love. Man only loves because of something he hopes to gain from the love. But I said, this is unconditional love. The fullness of God that he wanted us to be filled with is the grace of God. God offers all the gifts of the Spirit to the believer. He wants us to be filled up completely with his fullness, so that there will be no room left for any worldliness. That's a hard thing for us to get the world out of us. Because we like the pleasures of this world, don't we? It's hard to get that out of us. The great commandment that Jesus gave to all believers is in Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. Mark 12 and verse 30. It says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." If we keep that commandment, then we are full of the Lord Jesus. Jesus was all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Colossians 2:9 it says, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." The inner strengthening of the Holy Spirit leads to the indwelling of Christ, which leads to abundant love, which leads to God's fullness in us. Then to be so filled up to all the fullness of God is indeed incomprehensible, even to God's very own children. It is incredible and indescribable that there is no way this side of heaven we can fathom the truth. We can only believe it and praise God for it. If we are filled with Jesus, then we are filled with God. By definition, to be filled with God is to be emptied of self. That's hard because we don't want to die to self. We don't want to empty ourselves out and let God fill us up. We don't want that. That's not natural for us. It takes work. Takes determination. It is not to have much of God and little of self, but all of God and none of self. This is a reoccurring theme in Ephesians. Now we are out of time, so we'll stop there. Father in heaven, we